Welcome to the UTG podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We are joined today by three Christian mums from across Scotland, actually, and we're just really having a little chat about what life is like under lockdown conditions. It's completely unusual, and normal life really has gone out the window. So it is lovely to have you ladies with me today. So we've got Senga, and we've got Laura, and we've got Anna. We're going to go through a few questions and try and cover some points, and just really think of how difficult life is. And hopefully we all realise today that no one's judging anybody, but we're all actually in the same boat and in the same situation. So thanks for joining us, ladies. And we're going to go straight to you, Senga, and just get a little bit of introduction of yourself and your children and so on. So welcome. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Graham. Thank you. Yeah, I'm Senga. I'm 45. I have four children, three of whom are still at home. My daughter, second daughter is 14. She's just moved into S4. I have a son who's 11, currently in primary 7 and due to transition to academy in August. And our youngest daughter is 9. She's in primary 5 at the moment. So we're at home in lockdown. My husband is working from home.
Thank you, Senga. So some older children, some younger children, but then we're going to jump to you, Laura, because you are at the other end of the scale. Your children are all in the sort of junior side of things. What age and how many children do you have?
Hi, Graham. So I'm Laura and I also have four children, but yes, younger end of the scale. So my oldest is 6, he's in primary 1. And then I have a 5-year-old who will be transitioning to P1 after the summer, an almost 4-year-old, and a 1.5-year-old. So, yeah, it's a slightly different experience in this household. My husband's also working from home, so that's had its challenges as well.
Yeah, I think that sounds, the whole experience sounds very challenging, actually. That is a lot of work, to be honest. Anna, you are sort of in between both of these groups, I suppose.
Yeah, hi, I'm Anna and we have 5 children and they are a little bit from one end to scale to the next. So our eldest is 16 and has obviously missed sitting her National 5s this year but is moving on to higher work. Our second daughter is 14 and is beginning her Nat 5 work. And then next, our son is 11. So he is starting S1 after the summer. And then another son at 9. So he is moving from P5 into P6. And then our youngest daughter is 4. So she is due to start school after the summer as well.
Yeah, I should say that Anna is actually my wife. So her husband is also working from home and is an extremely good help to her, obviously, in helping out with all these children. So life is pretty tough. If you could just choose one word, okay, to sum up what an average day is during this lockdown, being a mother, being a teacher, being the whole school, basically, from janitor to cleaning lady to dinner lady, you are everything. One word to describe it, Anna, what would your one word be to describe the whole thing?
Chaotic.
Senga, what would your word be?
I'm kind of thinking fog.
Okay, yeah. Laura, how about yourself?
Tiring.
Yeah, I think every one of those words could be... Maybe a dozen words could be used on top of that as well, but every one of them was sum it up. I suppose that as lockdown started, there was a huge big unknown and what was going to happen. And maybe at the beginning, a little bit of excitement and looking forward to the fact we're going to spend a little bit more time with our children and so on. But the reality is completely different from what our expectations were. What were your expectations at the start, Laura? Did you have sort of plans laid out and thoughts for what you're going to do?
So I think the day they actually announced the schools were shutting, my initial reaction was anxiety, to be honest. My first three were really close together. I had 3 under 3 for 11 months in the house, all three of them all the time, and that was really tough. So this has been the first year where I've had 3 of them out of the house a lot because 2 have been at nursery and 1's been at school. And it's the first year we've kind of got into a semblance of a routine. So when I heard that the school's nursery, everything was out the window, I did feel quite anxious about going back to having, well, now four in the house all at once. So that was my initial, like, oh, I don't know if I want to go back to this difficult stage. And I kind of combated that with, like, over-preparation. I was really naive and started ordering baking supplies and crafting supplies and school books and gardening stuff, and just, yeah, went into total over-prepared mode completely, which was probably, with hindsight, a bit naive. But I just felt like I have to do something, I have to be prepared. I didn't know how much the school would give us. So yeah, I just went crazy on Amazon. And yeah, it's come back to bite me.
Okay. Well, what about Anna and Senga? What about yourselves? Do you have expectations or great expectations before or at the beginning of everything?
Yes, I think you're right that we had sort of expectations of quite nice time at home. I'm probably a little bit of an idealist, and I was looking forward to a diary free of after school activities. And to be honest, I kind of miss doing some things with my children that we maybe did a lot of when I was young, when they were younger. So I was imagining lots of time reading, doing artwork, music practice, playing games. And I very much imagined that I was going to be setting the routine and be the guide through this time. And I thought it would be a great chance to wean from screen, as you would say, and have a more family approach to life. So yeah, I think I was fairly high in the idealistic range of things.
That is a fantastic motto, a wean from screen. I like that. That is really impressive, actually. Anna, have you managed to wean your children from the screen? Or do you have expectations to do that before the lockdown?
Yeah, I suppose my expectations were probably a bit of a mix of them both. I like to be quite organised, and I had this wonderful routine all planned out of what we would do and when we would do it, and that's the kind of teacher in me coming out. You know, we had a kind of timetable, and I was going to keep it quite flexible and do all our formal learning in the morning, and then have lots of time outdoors and do kind of skills learning in the afternoon, you know, baking, gardening projects, all sorts. And I had this wonderful idea that we'd also do more faith-based learning, so give them an opportunity to learn about different missionaries, try to memorise some scripture, and just things that they maybe wouldn't get an opportunity to do at school. That was what I thought we would go full bung into. So some of it worked and some of it did not.
Yeah, so obviously you are slightly more to the advantage because you are a primary school teacher, so you're able to kind of know a little bit more about the curriculum. So what, from a professional standpoint, do you think it's good to have structures in place and stick to these structures in a rigid way during this situation, or just to be more fluid and organic? That's a wonderful word. More organic, just let things go and see what happens.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of a balance. You know, home is not like school, and like you said earlier, when you're homeschooling, you are doing a little bit of everybody's job. So like today, for example, I finished teaching the boys at the table. I then had to clean the table and prepare lunch at the same table. And then while they were out playing, hoover up the crumbs from underneath the table. And I just thought to myself, you know, here I am. It's like, you know, you're doing the teaching, you're doing the cooking, you're doing the cleaning. And that's usually three different roles within a school. So it is very, very different. And it's been difficult because sometimes there's been work prepared by their teachers which you feel that you need to kind of do. You don't want them just doing their own thing all the time. But on the other hand, it's not the same because they don't have the same interactions with their peers. So you can't have them sitting at the table, you know, from 9 till 3 like they would have been, you know, during normal school hours.
Ladies, do you have a sort of routine like that you go with, or are you flexible? Laura, over yourself.
So I actually am a primary teacher as well on a very long extended career break. So like Anna, I had been Googling all the different websites you could sign up to, and our school mum's chat was going crazy, all recommending different timetables. So I did have a rigid timetable prepared. We were going to start with Joe Wicks every morning. We were going to do all our formal learning in the morning also. We were going to have a household chores section at lunchtime. We were going to all jointly clean the house, and then we were going to do our like active learning in the afternoon outside. I would say we did Joe Wicks maybe 1.5 times, and I think there was one occasion where the children helped me wipe down door handles and light switches. Other than that, the timetable went out the window after about day 3, and we had to kind of reevaluate. I think all my crazy preparation, I'd have probably been better just getting on my knees and praying for more patience before it all started. That would have maybe been more useful than all the Amazon goodies that arrived. The reality has been, I think my youngest son has taken me by surprise the most, the 18-month-old. He has just like learned to do so many mischievous things in the last 2 months. I think he's loved having his brothers and sisters around, and I think he's picked up a lot from them being in the house all the time. So he can open all the doors now. He's been getting outside. He can get into all the toilets. So we don't have toilet brushes anywhere in the house now. I blame that for the state of my bathrooms. And he climbs on every bit of furniture. He's in the background of most of my children's videos that we've submitted to the school. He's in the background on an item of furniture, or like eating things he shouldn't be eating. So he's probably been the one that I didn't factor in. I just sort of imagined he'd potter around in the toy room and we'd just carry on doing our learning. But no, he's thrown a spanner in the works. I'd say I'm really fortunate. I only have one to teach. That has worked fine. The school have been brilliant. They've sent just the right amount of work, and we have kept on top of it, and it has given us a bit of structure. In general, we kind of do get it done by lunchtime-ish. So that's been good. It's been more just the mania of having all four of them around at once. And you're like, yeah, you're trying to, you know, normally my kids would all be out in the morning and I'd have time to make a leisurely batch of soup or whatever for lunch. Now you've got all four of them there. Can I get a snack? Can I get this? Finn's just went out the door. He's in the toilet. And you just, yeah, that's been really quite manic, and that's where your patience starts to kind of stretch, and I'm just aware that's probably what I've regretted the most, is maybe kind of being a bit short-tempered with them when, you know, it's not their fault they didn't ask for this either. So that's been a learning curve.
It's totally different for them as well, isn't it? And I think we can sometimes forget that in our own, or I'm saying our own, in your situation, as far you guys do far more than I even think about doing, and just do it without you do it without even thinking. But it is so tough for the children as well to have to go through this as well. And yeah, I suppose they adapt pretty quickly, but it's still completely alien to what they're used to as well. Senga, the difference then between expectation and reality, what's it like for you?
It was quite different. For us, it was we were going to start schooling on the Monday, and then kind of at the same time, I had volunteered to help at a local Christian care home, and I actually started on that same Monday.
That's nice.
And that day I ended up working 12 hours. So Boya was working from home and trying to navigate the first school day at home. So that first week, we really, he tried to set a routine and they tried to follow up, but really it was very difficult for him and for the children to kind of sort everything out. And then quite soon after that, we were into Easter holidays, which again, you were just sort of getting used to things, and then into the holidays, and then we went back. So we were a good long time before we got into a routine. We have sort of established a very flexible routine, mainly punctuated by meal times. So we meet for morning snack at 10:30 and review what everybody's tasks is for the day and how far they've proceeded through them. We meet for lunch at 1:00. The dog will be walked together in the afternoon. Tea is at 6:00, and pleasurable screen time is somewhere around there. So that's about as tight a schedule as we can run, really. And I think that was the key, being flexible and it is challenging when you've got children of different ages with different teachers who are setting different tasks for your children. All of it be coming, for us, it's all coming through Google Classroom. So the children, I said I had kind of seen myself as being the guide through this time and plan and project. And then I realized that, no, they were all just going straight onto Google Classroom, getting their tasks. They've been very good at getting on with their work, but I then just found it really hard to monitor. I've no idea what quality of work is being sent back. I do try to check and look at the comments that are coming back, and I think they're actually doing quite well. But it wasn't what I had expected at all.
Yeah, I think that the three of you are professionals, and your jobs and roles, and I suppose as professional mothers as well. There you go, what a compliment. And but it must be difficult to try and cover the age ranges. I mean, just thinking in our own experience in our own house, you've got a little girl who is transitioning into primary one, and you've got an older girl who is mad keen to be a doctor and doing higher biology and higher physics and higher English and higher French and higher whatever. And it's been a long time since I have done higher any of these subjects, if any of them. So how do you, the three of you, cope with the range of topics that you have to be good at?
I think that is a very good point, that you're dealing with different things and often in subjects that you're maybe not so confident in. For me particularly, it's the IT side of things. And again, both my 11-year-old and 9-year-old are way ahead on me when using their Google Classroom and their Google Hangouts and doing their Google Meets and their use of IT. My son has been doing a lot of exploring with video editing and trying to tell me all about it, and trying to look interested is quite challenging. I don't think he wanted to set up his own YouTube channel, so we're working on that.
Ladies,
but what it does exemplify, and it's something I'm learning through parenthood just more generally, is that I cannot know everything that my children need to know. And there's this little control, this sort of idol nearly of control that you have to be the most important person in your child's life and be the one with the answers and the one who always knows what they need to do. And as they grow older, you realise you have to let go of that. You have to let other people come in. They will need to look to other people. They're never going to grow beyond where you've been if you only... Yeah. Ever let them learn from you. So I guess there's a case where it's a bit humbling, but you have to stand back and ask other people for help.
Yeah.
And
ladies, what about you, Anna or Laura? How are you coping with the broad range of education?
Well, I think it is difficult. I mean, as Senka said, this, you know, obviously there are other professionals out there who are providing work for them. Which has been a great help. It has been a long time since I have done secondary maths, for example, which YouTube videos are fantastic nowadays to teach you all sorts of things that you've forgotten, Pythagoras theorem and all sorts. But as Senga says, it is, I think it does, it kind of puts you back in your place a little bit. And you do feel that, well, certainly speaking for myself, it has made me kind of rely on God a whole lot more than I maybe normally would, because, you know, when the routine is just carrying on and life is going and you're more or less your child's taxi and you're running them from here to there to everywhere, you know, life just ticks on by. Whereas when all of a sudden it's all back on you to a degree and yet you can't do it all, you suddenly realise that, you know, you can't do it in your own strength. And, you know, that's sometimes not such an easy reminder to have to face.
Yeah, go for it, Laura.
So I don't have this range of subjects at all. Like I said, I've only got the one in P1, but I think part of what both the ladies said, Senga about having to be in control and Anna about having to like realise you're actually not in control and you need to rely on God, that has definitely been something I feel like the Lord's been trying to show me, like that whether it's been a good day or a bad day, and sometimes there are good days where you get a lot done and you do baking and you do some gardening and it does look like the perfect timetable, and then there's other days where they literally watch Disney DVDs from, you know, the start of the day till near the end, and screen time limits are out the window. But I think I keep getting this verse in my head that I found in an old Bible, and it was right after I'd had my little girl, so it was right in the thick of like when I had the three of them really young. And it's a verse in Deuteronomy about, you'll remember all the way the Lord your God led you. And I look back, like when I had the three of them that age, and I actually can't remember how we did it. Like, it's genuinely a haze now. But he brought us through, and I kind of feel like I am still looking ahead, and who knows when they're going to go back to school and how it's all going to pan out with relaxing lockdown.
Yep.
But I know that, like, God brought me all the way the last time, and he's going to bring me all the way this time. And it's not like 90% him and 10% me, it is all him, whether it's a good day or a bad day. And yeah, it's both humbling but also really reassuring that you realise actually this doesn't just depend on me, not at all.
I think a great thing about the lockdown is the ability to be able to not just tell your children this, but show it by our lives as well, that listen, this is completely alien to us. We don't really know what we're doing. Well, I don't. But yet we're trusting in someone who does and who is in control. And your exams that you're worried about, listen, the Lord knows your situation. And there are so many things that have happened even to us as a family during the lockdown, like losing my father and the children losing the grandfather that they live in the next street to and very close to. I've been able to show them the reality of what Christian life is actually like, or what, I don't like that word phrase, Christian life. It really should be our lives as Christians, actually. And showing what that's like, that we can, when things are in turmoil, when the world is chaos, we can depend on the one who is everlasting and immovable and eternal. I don't know what your thoughts are, but I suppose the homeschooling situation has given you further opportunities to speak about the Saviour and to speak about the Scripture as well.
I think it's made me think, like my husband and I have talked about this a lot, like after a bad day I'll sort of go on about, oh, the kids were whinging and they were doing this and they're doing that. And then my husband always says to me, well, he's like, you know, think how often you complain to the Lord and how often your prayers are just a big long list of requests and kind of whinging. And he's like, we are children, we're children of God, and we're not perfect children at all. And this is a chance to try and emulate, I mean, we'll never get there, but try and emulate like the perfect father. And you know, I always think of that verse about how he's slow to anger and abounding in grace and mercy, and I think, how much grace and mercy am I showing my kids? Because God's shown me a lot and been pretty patient with me, so I think slow to anger is like my new motto going forward.
Certainly a good verse that I have kept on to at the moment is I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because you know, you feel at times like it's just, you just are kind of jumping from one job to another and nothing's getting done very well. So it's good to have verses like that to kind of hold on to and give you something to help.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And it's funny, before coronavirus ever hit, before we knew about lockdown, I decided to take a break from trying to read through the Bible in a year or 2 years in that way. And I was focusing particularly on the Psalms, and it's something that's really struck me reading through the Psalms during that time, is how many times the Psalm writer, particularly David, is in trouble or in difficulty. And what does he do? He reflects back, he looks back and traces how the Lord has helped him. And so he speaks so often about his steadfast love, because he can see through his experiences that God continues to love him. And I think at this time that's been particularly special, just to remember what God has done for you, and that God will keep you and he will keep your family. And even though we don't necessarily feel we're on a spiritual mountain at the moment, we're maybe struggling to find a time to read a verse, we're certainly struggling to find ourselves in an attitude of prayer, we forget to look to the Lord, we are troubles, as you say, we complain to our mom, we complain to our sister or whoever, and we really need to go to him. It's been good to remember that through the Psalms. I find that really helpful.
Yeah, that's excellent. Nice there. And I so often, David, just take, it's almost like he just takes a step back and takes a breath and just, well, Selah is just to pause and consider, isn't it? Just to stop and think about it. Ladies, a question for the three of you. Me time. Do you have much me time? Actually, when you answer that question, bear in mind that I am friends with all your husbands on Strava, so I see the me time that they have on Strava. But what about yourselves? Do you have much time to go for a run or to just go for a relaxing bath or to study or whatever? Do you have much time for it?
Well, I think my husband would really like me to just take that time to go for a run, but the problem is that's not what I consider me time. that's work that has to be done. So we kind of disagree on that. But it is difficult to carve out time for yourself in the house, because the children are just so used to just shouting "Mom" when they need you, and yeah, coming to find you, finding a quiet space. I'm used to having my children at school and getting them to school, get the washing on, get the tea started, whatever, and then I can go and sit and take some quiet and read my Bible. And I really struggle to focus on reading my Bible if I don't have complete quiet around me. So I've just had to learn that I just have to take what I can get. One little project we did do as a family, the only art project we've done in this time together, was to make a little sign for each of our bedroom doors that says, "Please knock on one side and do not disturb on the other," to try and teach all of us respect for each other's need for space. Yeah, so that little sign has helped. Turn it over, don't disturb, Mummy's in here. So
yeah, that is very good, actually. Yeah, that's a great idea. I might even copy that to use in the roadhouse, actually. Yeah. How about you, Laura or Alan? Excuse me. Laura or Anna, do you have any me time?
Not really, no. I think as the children get older, it's more difficult, because when they were younger, you know, they all had their 8 o'clock or 7:30 bedtime. And so you had that time in the evening to kind of regroup. And as they've got older, well, when they were at school, you got a wee bit of time, or when they were at nursery, you maybe had a couple of hours to do what needed to be done. But that's not quite the same in our house anymore, because the little ones got up early and the older ones lie in. But then it's the opposite at the end of the day. So there's not a lot of time when there's quiet in the house or there's no children about. And like Singa says, you've still got, like, you know, your washing to do or the kind of chores that you would normally do when they were at school.
Yeah, I mean, I did make the dinner tonight, I have to admit that.
Which is a great help. And that is one point, actually. The girls have been really good at taking a turn at dinner. So that's been positive, because that's good skills for them. And it has given me a bit of a break, because 7 dinners and 7 lunches and 7 breakfasts and all the many, many snacks in between kind of get a bit wearing.
Yeah, I've definitely found the meals is getting on my nerves a little bit, because my husband eats a crazy amount as well. So having him around, like, he's never normally at home for any meals. In a way, that's been really nice. Like, we've actually had more family time, which has been good, and more time, you know, like family Bible time. So that's been a real blessing out of this for us that we wouldn't normally get. Like, he wouldn't normally be home until just before the kids go to bed. So the kids have really liked that, and I've really liked that. And we've gone out a walk usually after dinner as a family, which has been nice. I am lucky, like Anna said, my kids are all in bed 7:30, so I do get a bit of time in the evening then to either tidy up if I feel like it, or more likely go for a bath. Similar to Senga, my husband encourages me to take exercise, but that's not my idea of relaxing either. And he's been very good in the morning, because he's not having to commute to work now. He can obviously get up a wee bit later, so he'll get the porridge ready and get that started, and that gives me just at least 10 minutes to just at least do my daily reading. So that's been a really big help. So no, I can't fault my husband at all. I know Graham sees him on Strava doing his runs, but he does do his bit.
No, I have to say that I do admire the work that you ladies do, and I get involved with outdoor learning for our boys, and we've done a good few projects. We've made a putting green and a little chipping green for the golf in the back garden. We've benched and building bird tables and selling them in the street and so on. And so we've stripped down a quad and rebuilt it. So there's been lots of stuff going on, engineering projects, but the work that you ladies do is phenomenal. And I think that on behalf of all the children and fathers who are out there, thank you for your hard work during lockdown. It is so difficult. It's so tough. If you could sum up one thing maybe you've learned, tell us one thing that you've learned during the whole lockdown, what do you think that would be?
So just the other week, my YouVersion Bible plan is going through 1 Corinthians, and I came across that verse about when the Lord tests you, he always provides a way of escape. And right in the middle of the verse, I just noticed that three-word phrase, God is faithful. And I think that's been kind of my take-home message. Like Senga said, don't any of us are on the mountaintop right now spiritually. There's been a lot of ups and downs. There certainly has been for me with like my praying and walk with God. But no matter like how often I mess up or whether it's a good day or a bad day, he is faithful. He's on our side, and he keeps his side of his promise to just always be there. And that's something that I'm learning every day.
Yeah, and I have to agree with that. I can empathise with that 100% because that's exactly the situation that I'm in. I think we all have to maybe all be honest and say that's maybe the same for all our lives, or maybe not, but that's a good lesson. How about yourself, Senga?
It's been very good to slow down as a family. I think every family feels the busyness of life and how cram-packed life is, and it's just been different to live life slowly and to have time to take in the walks together, what we're seeing in the nature just immediately around us in God's creation, and taking time at meal times, a bit more time for Bible time. So I would hope that we can carry that forward into the future, just to keep life less busy, slow enough to appreciate what is there.
Yeah, I think it's good to be busy in the things of the Lord, and I know that the assembly that you are in, the church that you're in, you're extremely busy, but it's also good just to stop and to take stock sometimes as well, isn't it? And it's funny, I was speaking to an next-door neighbour who is not a Christian, and he said the exact same thing. He says, you know, this is what we were needing. We were needing this, to spend time together as a family and to spend time as a village together almost as well. And it's interesting, people's perception of the whole thing as well. So excellent point. I'll take that on board. So yeah, Anna, what's your overriding experience out of the lockdown?
Well, I think I would take both of the things that ladies have said. I don't want to cheat and steal their ideas, but definitely I feel the very same. I think the only other thing I would take out of that is to try and look for things to be thankful for. And it's something that I've been trying to kind of do with the children, and it's sometimes tough because sometimes that's not, you don't count your blessings, you do list your complaints. But even trying to teach them that, you know, in every situation that there are things to be thankful for. And there are things that God wants to teach us in this period, and to look for things that we can use to teach ourselves, to grow as Christians, to just take stock and be thankful for the things that we have and for the things that we still can do.
Excellent. Yeah, ladies, that was really insightful. I really enjoyed listening to that and to hear your discussion and have a chat with you as well. They are extremely unusual times and difficult times, and I suppose my prayer and all our prayers is that we would get closer to the Lord in this situation, that our families would get closer to the Lord as well, and that perhaps through even our testimony as well, local people that we're in contact with would see our faith in our Saviour and see the way that we're trying to live our life and even raise our children as well, and that they would find Christ through that as well. So thank you for being with us today. I'm sure you're all subscribers to the podcast anyway. Keep on listening for more podcasts to come on a weekly basis. Thank you, and take care, and God bless.